If you have your Bible, please turn with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for all you have done for us. You have been faithful in the past. Thank you for all the blessings. Father, we enthrone you. We give you all our praises and our worship. We confess to you our sins, forgive us, and bring us in the higher level of spirituality. Make your presence known in this place. As we study your word, use your servant as your instrument. Bless us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. Amen. Be careful how you live. That's my topic this morning. The beginning of the year is the best time to do assessment and make resolution so that he will improve in our spiritual lives, and at the same time grow spiritually. Someone said that New Year's resolutions, like promises, are made to be broken. Take a look at some of these resolutions. My goal for 2018 is to accomplish the goals of 2017, which I should have done in 2016, because I promised them in 2015 and I planned them in 2014. Do you like that? The second one is, my New Year resolution is to stop hanging out with people who ask me about my New Year's resolution. The third one is, not that one. The third one is, the last one, how about you? What is your New Year resolutions? As we anticipate the New Year, some of us face it with many regrets. Perhaps some of us did wrong things we cannot undo, or neglected certain things and think it is too late to catch up. This morning, our passage will teach us on how to live carefully. In verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. How do you live carefully in these evil times? Live as wise, not as unwise. Because the days are evil, God commands us to be careful how we live. To live carefully as wise, number one, seek every good opportunity. In verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It might be translated making the best use of the time, or as the old version, redeeming the time. The new year will be a time of opportunities. Every day will bring to each of us its opportunities. Despite of our failures in the past, inadequacies and disobedience, remember that God is a God of many opportunities. Seek every good opportunities or redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means to watch out for the things in this world that get in the way of doing God's will. Redeeming the time means that we are careful to avoid what is foolish and careful about doing what is right, so as to demonstrate and show what we know about God's will in our actions. Paul is not simply talking about time management. In Western society, we live by the clock. Time is money. We are told our lives are planned and very busy. Time is money, we say. But in reality, time is not money. If you lose money, you can always make it some other way. Time is not a renewable resource. Whatever time we have lost is gone forever. Paul reminds us, his readers, that there is another reason why they need to seek every good opportunity, because the days are evil. It was not easy for the early Christians, and not long after this letter was written, it became even worse. Christians were burned as torches and thrown to the lions. There was no time to mess around. Tomorrow might be too late. Opportunities must be seized because time is limited. If you knew you had only 10 years left to live, or 1 year left to live, how would it change your life? We should believe in each day as do it we are our last day. When we waste our time, we are wasting our life. Therefore, we must be very wise about how we use our time. Time is a gift from God. And God has given you sufficient time to accomplish everything He has called you to do in your life. When life gives you opportunities, grab them. One day, you will wake up and there won't be any more time to do things you always wanted. Do it now. The two greatest enemies of time, number one, regrets for things we did in the past. And second is an anxiety about that will happen to us in the future. Learn to live in the present. Don't waste time worrying about future or regretting the past. You only have each moment as it comes, so make the most of each one. When you worry about the future or regret the past, you are wasting the present. The way you spend your hours and your days is the way you spend your life. One of the greatest tragedies in life is wasted opportunity not making the most of what God has given us. Seek every good opportunity. If God gives us opportunity to serve Him, serve God faithfully. Don't say, I'm too busy to give my time to the Lord. Dr. Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, he said, it is difficult for me to understand how intelligent person can spend all of time building for this world and have no time for the future world. I know you are educated, talented, gifted, and respected. Nothing wrong about that. But my question is, what is your ministry? So Apostle Paul says, so be very careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. The most important use of your time in this world is to use your time to God and for eternity. I remember this slogan in my seminary. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Never lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way. Seek every good opportunity. Someone said, I'm very young. God can use you. I'm too old to be used by God. No one is too young or too old to be used by God. You are always the perfect age. Seek every good opportunity to serve God. Seek every good opportunity to demonstrate your love for others. Seek every good opportunity. The second here, seek the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will. Some of us, New Year's is the time of new resolutions. New Year is the time of new goals, new plans, new dreams. A time for new things to make you feel happy. But how many of you are sure and are guaranteed about your future? How many of you are aware that you will be able to enjoy good life, long life, and profitable life? How many of you are even assured that tomorrow you will be still alive? Those are some of the things we don't know. We don't even know whether we are still alive tomorrow. Therefore, it is important to us to be sure about our future. It is important for us to have a guarantee about the good future ahead of us. If we are walking closely with the Lord and truly desiring His will for our lives, God will place His desires in our hearts. The key is seek the will of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Seek God's will in all you do, and He will show you the path to take. To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge, and to do the will of God is the greatest achievement in life. God wants us to know His will and to do His will in our lives. too many ask, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my career? What is God's will for my ministry? What is God's will for my family? What is God's will for my marriage? My education? My future? My plan in the future? Why is it sometimes difficult to know God's will? There is a fun story from a writer. He said, when a girl reached at the age of 15, she is starting to dream to marry someone who is young, kind-hearted, handsome, and rich. It's a good standard, huh? Because she thought the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. But when this girl reached the age of 20, she said to herself, I want a guy that even not rich, as long as he is young, kind-hearted, handsome, and is willing to marry me. When she reached the age of 25, she told herself, well, as long as a guy is kind-hearted, that's good enough. But when she reached the age of 30 and is still waiting, she said to herself, God, whoever comes first. To get the perfect will of God, put God at the center of your life. God wants the very best for you and for me. God wants to give you the best, not his second best. When you seek the will of God, he will not put you to shame. He will lift you up. He will take care of you. I'm sure in your life today, you may be going through some difficulties. You may have some problems. And you ask God, God, you will really take care of me? God, you will really provide? God, you will really take care of my family? God, you will really take care of my future? The answer is yes. People wrestle with God for one of two reasons. Number one, they don't know God's will and they are trying to find it. The second is, they know God's will and they are trying to decide whether or not to do it. The will of God is not hidden, but rather it is revealed to us through the Word of God. The Word of God is our number one means of determining the will of God. You will know the will of God through prayer, and you will know the will of God by living a dedicated life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Remember, the will of God is not always easy, but it is always right. No matter what happened this coming year, as long as you know you are in the center of the will of God, you are safe. And God will give you the best. Seek the will of God. And number three, seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Seek to be filled with the Spirit. I believe this is one of the most important principles of spiritual life. The Spirit-filled life is about surrender. The Spirit-filled life is about surrender to Him. It is about surrendering our agenda, your will, your desire, and the totality of your life to Him so that He can live through you. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be completely controlled by Him. Apostle Paul gives us a contrast. Being drunk is a bad kind of control resulting in bad things. Alcohol influences our thoughts, our actions, and behaviors. In the same way, the Holy Spirit influences our thoughts, actions, and behaviors, one for the worse and one for the better. If you are going to be careful how you live, if you are going to make the most of use of your time in this world, and if you are going to avoid living foolishly, but to seek and understand and to do the will of God, we are going to need to have our minds influenced, not by intoxicating effects of alcohol, but by the illuminating effects of the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Jesus Christ needs to be filled with the Spirit. Why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit provides Christian character. The Holy Spirit is the key to victory over sin or to living a holy life. The Holy Spirit provides the power to live Christian life. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the spiritual power for ministry, or the Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us, leads us, comforts us, convicts us, strengthens us. He is God's greatest gift to us, the gift of Himself dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit gives the Christian the spiritual power needed to live a Christian life. It helps provide the motivation to be careful how you live. You cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. A young lady is uncomfortable about her spiritual life. She believes in God, belongs to a Christian church, attends every week, gives offering, takes communion, and yet she still feels emptiness and confusion. In the back of her mind, she's asking the question, what's wrong with me? Am I really saved? What must I do to experience the real touch of God in my life? To many discouraged Christians, they wallow in self-pity. To many defeated Christians today, they will not rise up again. To many backsliding Christians, they fall back into their old ways, habits of life. Why Christians feel weak and defeated? Because we are content to live on spiritual scraps. We have become so used to a secular lifestyle, and we no longer have an appetite for God and for His word. To be filled with the Spirit naturally means that you are not filled with self. This is a major problem of many Christians today. They are too filled with self and not filled enough with the Spirit of God. Sometimes God cannot fill us because we are already filled. We are full of our our own skills and abilities. We are full of our wisdom and ideas. We are full of our strength that we think we can manage without God and the Holy Spirit. You do not feel a filled vessel, do you? You can feel only a vessel that is empty or half empty. It is often in our limitation when the Holy Spirit makes manifest the limitless power of God. It is when we recognize our emptiness before Him that He fills us. Let us recognize our need for Him, the one who is beyond us, the one who can transform our emptiness into the fullness. How is your Christian life from day to day? How is your Christian life in your home? How is your Christian life in your office, in your school? How our Christian life in our church? I challenge everyone. Let every member of the church be filled with the Spirit of God. To the pastor, to the elders, to all the Sunday school teachers, song leaders, young people, to all the members of this church, be filled with the Spirit of God. Seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. The degree to which God will direct you, use you, and conform you to the image of Christ will always depend upon the degree to which you allow the Spirit of God to fill you. Verse 18, in the Greek language or in the original language, this is in the imperative mode. This means the filling of the Spirit is not an optional part of the Christian life. Every Christian is to be filled with the Spirit all of the time. Before I will close, to live carefully, God wants us to seek every good opportunity. God wants us to seek His will. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. At the end of 2017, and as we face New Year, let the New Year be given to God. As we face New Year, let us rededicate our plan, our dreams, our life to Him. Before I will close this sermon in prayer, I will ask the worship team to lead us to sing "I Surrender All." May I request everyone or the congregation please stand while we sing "I Surrender All."
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender yours, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender. Surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Let's pray. Father, I surrender all. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender our worries. We surrender our sins to you. We surrender everything to you. Lord, help us to abide by your words and keep our focus on you. May we be obedient to your ways and your wills in our lives. Bless us with your strength. Empower us with your Holy Spirit. Bless us with your healing power. Bless our desires, our decisions, our family, our ministry, our works, our studies. Lord, bless us and use us for your glory. Amen. May I request Pastor Shen to lead us in benediction.
Just a thought that I had from a question that June asked us. What is our ministry? What is your ministry for 2018? How do you want to bless people, and how are you going to do that? With that in mind, I will read a benediction from Ephesians chapter 3. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.